Our great God, Heavenly King, we praise you that you are with us this morning. Be exalted in this place. Lord, we ask that you speak to us through your word and our lives then poured out afresh so that all may see how great is our God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Church of our Savior, what a great joy. Today is such a significant day for Coos. And I'm so glad that Pastor Derek is here and other pastors are here because God has used many people to get Coos to this point. It's a climactic point. It's the day, well, we will be dedicating a new building, but it's not so much the new building. It marks the new season of ministry and engaging the community. It's a day of joy. You know, my wife and I, we made our way from the basement car park. Actually, we had to have our sunglasses on because the shining faces and smiles of everyone who greeted us, it was blazing, you know, and that's how it should be. Not just today, but every day, because this is the house of the Lord. So there's a joy that befits those who sowed with tears, and you had to make adjustments during the peak construction period. Wonderfully, you also use the time for reshaping your ministry or restructuring your ministry. A time of training lay leaders for stepped up ministry. And that's what today is going to be. A time when we're going to be praying for your cluster pastors. And I want to read first as we come into God's word. I want to read from Numbers chapter 11. Just so that we know what is happening. And we are entering into the pattern of God's ways. So this is Numbers chapter 11. And the people of God are on a journey. And the time has come for the leadership to expand, to go beyond Moses. So here we are, Numbers chapter 11, verse 16 and 17. Then the Lord said to Moses, gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you. And I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take some of the spirit that is on you, Moses. I will take some of the spirit that is on you and put it on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that you may not bear it yourself alone. I'm going to continue now at verse 25. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied. They burst out into ecstatic utterance, perhaps in a language not known to them. In other words, the power of God came upon them in a distinct, decisive, visible way. That's why we're going to be praying for you in a moment when we lay hands on the cell pastors and when we pray for the ministry leaders in Coos. This is what we are expecting. The Holy Spirit filling you. Now it goes on to say in verse 26, now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other Medad, and the Spirit also rested on them. So the Spirit also rested on those who were not in the assembly. That's how generous God is, you know, and he knows those that he has called into ministry. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. And so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, my Lord Moses, stop them. Here's a man jealous that it should all be within God's purpose and according to how Moses had instructed. So he's a bit uptight that this is happening beyond the circle that was at the tent of meeting. But listen to verse 29. But Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them. And that, my dear friends, is a reality Jesus Christ has accomplished. that now in Christ, all who belong to Him can be empowered by the Spirit for ministry. So you've not come here this morning to watch something happen. You've come here this morning to receive the Spirit in a fresh way, all of us, in order that we might do the work of ministry, in order that we might make this great God known. So for all of us, as you continue to hear the word of God, let faith arise. Let surrender be complete, because Jesus is pouring out His Spirit on all of us. And through us, He's going to bring revival to this land. So that's my topic for today. A people set on mission. That's how I see KUZ. In fact, that's how I pray we will move as a diocese. A people set on mission. Now, KUZ, it's not insignificant that today is the day of Pentecost. In the calendar of the church, this is the day. It's 50 days after the resurrection. And God working according to His plan and fulfilling His promises, 50 days later, pours out His Spirit. It's the birth of the church. I just wanted you to know, KUZ, that you're part of something larger. I believe. Derek and others also, and definitely Daniel, we are part of those called by God to lead the church in Singapore to a great mission. And this mission is centered upon celebration of hope. Celebration of hope is going to be a 3-day time of rallies, and God made it possible for us to book the National Stadium. And that capacity is 50,000, 51,000 to be accurate. And we are believing that all over Singapore, the people of God, the churches, are going to bring unbelievers. And they're going to encounter the Lord. And they're going to come to saving faith. And it's going to change. It's going to change their lives, certainly. But it's going to change communities. It's going to change our nation. It's going to change our destiny. So we've called it Celebration of Hope. You have there a little timeline. And this year is the year of prayer. Because it's not going to happen by human power. This is God. How wonderful to worship with you, KUZ. I carry it into the very presence of God. And He is mighty. He's incomparable. He's greater than all that we can ask or imagine. He is. And He's the one who's going to bring about this great harvest. And we need to cry out to Him. We need to beseech Him, you know, yeah. And He's going to do it because our God loves the people He has made, every one of them. They are persons to Him. They are not economic units of production. They are living souls that He created, and He wants to bring back home to Himself. So we're going to have the year of prayer this year. Next year, the year of proclamation at the stadium. Later on, we'll tell you about the different rallies and languages and so forth. And then the year after that, 2020, will be the year of personal discipleship. Well, this is a track that we place in God's hand, and He's going to fill it with people that He's going to transform. So the vision is for the whole church in Singapore to proclaim the one name, the name of Jesus, the name we've been singing about. We're going to proclaim the one name that gives the world solid hope. And it's a world that's in need of solid hope. So it's a season of an amazing harvest. Amazing because it's beyond what humans can do. Beyond what we in our natural, even with our zeal, can do. It's God-given, God-birth. Brought about, accomplished by God. Now, that's God's purpose. That's what we believe. When I say we, I mean the pastors and myself. Several of the pastors, city pastors and myself. God, appointed time. This is going to be the season of harvest. That's what He has purposed in His goodness, in His mercy. Now, He wants to use us. That's God's way. He has a great vision, a great purpose. And then He says, will you be part of it? And that's how we've assembled today. And that's why I'm so excited that I can be at KUZ on the day of Pentecost. Because you will be a vital part. God and having His troops. There will be those that He uses to spur on others. I'm so glad that your pastor, Daniel Wee, will anchor Operation Andrew. Operation Andrew is where each one commits to God to bring so many people. You decide how many people you're going to trust God to bring to the stadium and trust that it'll be saving faith. They will come to saving faith, whether that night or beyond, but they will come to the Lord Jesus Christ and their lives will never be the same again. So I just thank God that we have Pastor Daniel and several others working, and it's exactly a year away. So when we think about this, of course we're thinking, oh, it's a mass event. May I just pause to say, it's personal evangelism on a mass scale. Is that okay, Kuz? It's not just a mass event, you know, and then some media blitz, etc. It's you and me inviting, praying, sharing already, and bringing people to the stadium. It's personal evangelism on a mass scale. Now, the pattern for this mission is given to us in Luke chapter 10. And that's the passage I'm going to major on this morning before we come to this time of prayer. So if you have your Bible in whatever form that you carry it, Luke chapter 10, I'm going to read from verse 1 to 12 first and then selectively. Listen, because this is God revealed in His Word a pattern of this mission for the church in Singapore at this time. What is Jesus doing? Luke chapter 10 verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of Him, two by two, into every town and place where He Himself was about to go. And He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you." Verse 9. "Heal the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to your feet we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town." Continuing verse 17. "The 72 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.' And Jesus said to them, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children.'" Verse 23. "Then turning to the disciples, he said privately, 'Blessed are your eyes. Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it.'" So this is the pattern of the mission I am privileged today to call you, Kus. There's a specific mission over these next 2 years. And Christ is recruiting. I came to celebrate with you. But more than that, I came to recruit you in the name of the Lord for this mission. Now, there are three things about this mission I call your attention to. There are many more, but I just call your attention to three of them. First, the priority of the mission. Can you see it? In the mission of the 72, there's an urgency about it. It's not like, okay, you know, yeah, every year come and go, we do some evangelism, we do some follow-up, etc. There's a time. And Jesus, in this passage, Jesus has already set his face to Jerusalem. That's in chapter 9, verse 51. So he has set his face to Jerusalem. That's going to be the climactic act of his death and resurrection for us. So he's going to fight the final battle, if you like. But in the journey there, he's asking the disciples, two by two, go into every town and village that I'm passing through. It's my final sweep. Are you with me? It's my final sweep on this side of eternity, in my earthly ministry. This is my final call to them to receive the kingdom before I go and do my final work on the cross. So there's an urgency, you see. And that is why they have no time for elaborate preparation. Take no bag, no knapsack. Don't take an extra pair of sandals. Just go as you are, because the hour is urgent. And then don't make small talk along the way. In Jewish culture, when you greet a person, it cannot be just hello and bye, you know. They talk for minutes or hours even. In other words, there's no time for elaborate or prolonged social etiquette. You got to be moving, because you got to reach the destination, the town I'm sending you to. You must catch this. There's a priority. Everything else drops in order, because the harvest is plentiful. That's God's word to us. In spite of all the hardened secularism, I mean, the world is intoxicated with pleasure and more pleasure. In spite of it all, there is an emptiness, and God knows it, and God put it there, and God's going to stir it so that they turn to the only one who can meet human need at the deepest level, or human need at the practical level. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. And the harvest is plentiful. And as you go into this harvest field, what does he say? He says, pray earnestly. That's the best translation the English can do. The word is beseech. It's a bit of an old word. It means you beg until it happens. You beg God, because without God, people are slow. They are lethargic. They are indifferent. Pray, beseech the Lord of the harvest to thrust out. That's going to happen, I believe, to you and me. Thrust out. That's a word for deliverance of demon-possessed people. Cast out. Throw out. Thrust out. So as we go, we're praying for this, because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. There's a briskness about this. And in the background of this, beloved, there is judgment. So this is not, you know, it's nice if you believe in Jesus. It makes your life better, and perhaps you can look forward to life after death. You don't get this tone in our Lord. There is a day of judgment. Did you see that? Because the towns that reject it, Jesus says, when you reject this kind of evidence of the kingdom of God breaking in, then your fate is going to be worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. Because there's a day, don't miss it, you know. So it's not like, okay, I mean, it's a nice thing to do if you care for people, just introduce them to Jesus. You are saving them from eternal separation from the living God, which is utter darkness. That's what it says here, because it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. On that day. Don't be lulled that the world keeps going on and on. There's nothing new under the sun. Don't be lulled into that. The world is moving according to God's plan to a day of judgment. Everyone will stand before the King. And those who believe him in saving faith, they shall be saved. So there's this great urgency. There's a disciplined dedication to an urgent task. Of course, my friends, I have to apply it. If I'm going to preach it, what does it mean for me? So this message hit me hard. I was on a quiet retreat in Desaru. It hit me hard. And I said to the Lord, Lord, every week, give me someone to share the gospel with. Every week, Lord, just give me someone that I can share the gospel with. And the Lord was so faithful because I had 2 full days in Desaru. And he gave me on the first day a Buddhist who believes in karma and reincarnation and all. And I could engage him about the value of the human soul, that he is distinct and precious to God. And Jesus died so that he, now his name is Mark, he belongs to God. And this is the way back to God. The second day was a Muslim. It's a government servant of the Desaru Development Corporation. They're developing it with a full water sports park and so forth. And he was there. And I could link with him because it was ascension time. And I told him, do you know in Indonesia, ascension is a public holiday? And that allowed me to say, why was Jesus ascended? What does it mean? He's ascended on high. And in the Quran, Isa comes back at the end of history, so I could link with him. I just want to share with you, this is going to hit us, all of us. If you catch this mission, you enroll for it, this is what it means. Lord, give me someone that I can share the gospel with in the course of my life. Even at lunch break, the table I sit in, you know, give me someone, create an opening that I can tell them God's King has come. So I share that with you, the priority of the mission. God is going to grow this church, our church, the church in Singapore, through personal evangelism. May I just say, personal evangelism doesn't mean just solo. Because yes, we share the gospel, but Jesus sent them out 2 by 2. So you can reach the lost in your cell group, through Alpha, through different activities. I mean, you have to bear testimony, but you don't have to do the whole thing on your own. The body of Christ is so well endowed, and you can bring them to this service. How wonderful, they're newcomers to this service. So, but it's you inviting, the priority of mission. Second, the purpose of the mission. What's the purpose of this mission? It comes to us a bit innocently, if you like, because it comes to us first in verse 5. When you enter the house, first say to it, peace to this house. Peace is shalom. Shalom is the fully lived life. That's shalom. Shalom is the total sense of well-being. One described it as the fully satisfying life when all is well with you emotionally, all is well with you relationally, all is well with you in your soul, in your business, everything. Shalom. But here in this passage, this shalom is tied to the kingdom of God. So the greeting of peace has a special meaning here. It's a peace linked to the kingdom of God. And what we are saying to people is, you will never have this peace without forgiveness from God. The foundation of peace is that our sins are forgiven. If you've ever been in debt or you have a big mortgage in front of you, even a big car loan, it's so wonderful when the loan is settled. That's what it means. You enter this new life, you enter this peace through the forgiveness of sins. And through Jesus, you receive newness of life. So that is the peace. And it's accompanied here by healing. That's in verse 9. Just so we might understand this, Jesus says to them, heal the sick in it. So often, physical healing is a demonstration of the wholeness that God brings. Our God loves to save. Amen. He loves to set the captive free. This is our God. And He gives us authority to proclaim this good news so that people can enter the peace. The peace is the purpose of the mission. And in this piece, the focus is on your relationship to God. So this again comes to us, if you like, obliquely. Because when the 72 come back and say, even demons submit to us. I mean, we are all, what shall I say, exhilarated that we can be a means of power. We see power, it excites us. What does Jesus say to them? Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Focus, therefore, my friends, not so much on the power manifestation, but they have entered an eternal relationship with God. Amen. Yeah. That they have come to know the living God through Jesus Christ. Like the prodigal, they have come home to God and embraced the Father and the Father's love and forgiveness. That's what we want to work on. One of my colleagues in the diocese office, her father had a severe heart failure while in Japan on holiday. It was really such a traumatic time for the family. It was so bad, they wanted to put him on an airplane and come to Singapore for treatment. But the condition, his heart was so unstable that they couldn't do that. They had been praying for his salvation. So the family was really, those who were Christians in the family were desperate with God. God kept the father alive, made him well enough finally to be ferried to SGH. And there gave him enough awareness. This is a testimony from their family. That he had enough consciousness, awareness to receive Jesus. Amen. And then he took him home. So we are focusing not just on the sign. We're focusing on the reality, the peace. The peace that brings you new life now. This new life begins now. And nothing can end it, not even death. It's a life endlessly. So the priority of the mission and then the great purpose of the mission. Finally now, the power for the mission. Jesus gives them the authority. It's clear, right? Of course, this passage is built upon the sending out of the 12, etc. So let me just say to you, when Jesus sends them out, he gives them authority. It's very explicit in Matthew 10. He gave them authority to proclaim the good news, to heal the sick, and to cast out demons. That's how the kingdom breaks in, you see. And this authority is from him. He also gives them authority over the attacks and power of the enemy. So I must pause now to let you know, it's not going to be one success story after another, because there will be those who reject your sharing. It's clear here, some towns reject the message, and Jesus warns them to reject such an exceptional proclamation and demonstration of the kingdom. Your future will be worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. He makes it clear to them. So there will be those who reject. And there will be challenges along the way. The enemy will be after you, after me. But what does Jesus say? He says in verse 19, behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Beloved, people of God, do not fear. I need to warn you, there will be opposition. The enemy will not just stand by and let the kingdom grow. He will oppose you, but be not afraid. No weapon forged against you will stand. Go forward with the gospel. As you proclaim the gospel, Satan will fall. This is what is happening when people are healed and they turn to the Lord and their lives are changed, their marriages are reconciled. What happens is Satan is defeated. And the kingdom of God comes, you see. That's what is happening, and that's what's exciting about this mission. That's why Jesus can say to them, blessed are your eyes. Many people waited to see this kingdom come. It's come uniquely in Christ. It's embodied in Christ. But now Christ says, you are extending that mission. You are making real the kingdom of God to people. You, the 72, and today, the church of our Savior. So the authority is given by Jesus, which brings us to this point in the service. How does the risen, ascended Lord give us authority and power for witness today? How? Through the Holy Spirit. The great power for the mission is through the Holy Spirit. For that reason, Jesus said to the disciples after he rose from the dead, stay in the city until you have received power from on high. Are you ready for it? Because this is the purpose of Pentecost. That you and I are not just consumers of religion. We are missionaries carrying the kingdom to the people that God has given us. And people along the way of life, you and I. And the joy is the kingdom breaking in, you see. Blessed are your eyes. Many, many kings and prophets waited for this day. But blessed are your eyes. Are you ready to see the kingdom come through your ministry, through your witness? Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, you shall have power to be my witnesses. So that's my call to you this morning, and through you to others. Today is a great day, but it's way beyond a new building. It's about a people set on mission. And a people set on mission need to be filled with the Spirit. Do you desire to be filled with the Spirit for Christ's mission today? Please stand. If that's your desire, so it's a specific one. If you're saying to the Lord, count me in for this mission in these 2 years. Because there is the appointed season. And you're saying, yes, Lord, then please stand, because I'd like to pray for you. As I said to you, the Holy Spirit is not just for leaders. It's for all God's people. Think about it. In your heart, you're saying, Lord, I want this power. I need this power. I need to overcome my fears. We all have fears of rejection, embarrassment. But there's a holy joy. Yeah. It just oozes out of those filled with the Spirit. You know, that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. They were out in the streets. There was holy joy, holy confidence. They were telling of the great things God has done. Father, there are so many standing here. I thank you for them. As you stand, would you open your hands in front of you? Just open your palms in front of you. Lord, I know you honor prayer. I know, Lord. And I'm praying now, Lord, that each person who is here will be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray now you cancel out failure, discouragement, Lord, fear. Overcome it, Lord. Fill these, your children, I pray in the name of Jesus. Pray the surge of the Spirit, Lord. And that, Lord, you will use our lips, you will use our hands to let the world know, the world you've given us to know, the King has come. And there is none like him. Praise you, Lord. Bless you. Pour out your Spirit, Lord, I pray. Pour out your Spirit. And I thank you for Coos, a new milestone today. I thank you for all those who labored in the past. And Lord, the people are ready for a new day to bless the community, to touch Singapore and even beyond. Pour out your Spirit, Lord, for this mission in the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Thank you, Bishop. Please remain standing, because now we want to invite the lay pastors, the cluster pastors, to come forward. And as they do, why don't we put our hands together to encourage them? These are men and women who have availed themselves to the service of God and of the church. In other words, they are serving you, right? So we want to pray for them, and Bishop is going to come down and pray for them, and you will also pray for them. Amen. We are asking God to give them an anointing. We are also asking God to give them authority and responsibility, right? Let's just stretch our hands as we pray for all of them. To pray for all the ministry leaders, the cell leaders, and assistant cell leaders as well, alright? So if you are a ministry leader in any ministry, could you just put up your hand so we can identify you, okay? Cell leaders, like all the way up, okay? Some of you, maybe not so tall, so you have to raise your hand higher, okay? Now, all those people around, can you just look at all these hands? These are the people who are serving you, alright? So we want to pray that God will empower them as well, as much as God will pour out His Spirit upon them, just as He did in the book of Joel, right? So we're going to believe that, and I'm going to ask the bishop to just pray. And those of you who are around them, why don't you just put your hands on them? Remember, it's not your hands, right? It's God using us just to bless them.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Those of you who are ministry leaders, receive the word of the Lord. It's not by power, it's not by might, it's by His Spirit. And His Spirit is an ever-gushing flow. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that even now, Lord, the dryness will be drenched by the water of the Spirit. Lord, deep in the soul, I pray for those who are experiencing weakness, weariness. I pray now strength will arise. Thank you, Lord. I pray that they will dream the Father's dreams in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And so I pray for revelation. Thank you, Lord, that they will always be seeking you in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray now in the name of Jesus, revive their quiet time, Lord. Revive the tent of meeting, Lord, that they are encountering you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, St. Paul testified, attested, Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. And I pray for this reality, Lord, for them. Thank you, Lord, that they might know Jesus is alive. And He's the one ministering through them. Thank you, Lord. So come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that they might experience something even now. I pray they experience the warmth of the Spirit, Lord. I pray they experience the release. A knot is untied. Thank you, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Touch them and use them. Thank you, Lord. 5 loaves, 2 fishes you multiplied, Lord. Here are our lives, the ministry leaders' lives. I pray such an anointing. Multiplying ministry. Bless them, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And the whole church of our Savior. Lord, people and leaders, abundantly fruitful. Hallelujah. Father, we are praying for your presence now. Hallelujah. Fill us to overflowing. Lord, thank you, Lord. Fill us with your words. Fill us with gifts of the Spirit for ministry. Hallelujah. Fill us with confidence. Yes. Thank you, Lord. And authority. In the name of Jesus, Lord, let us know the power of the name of Jesus in a new way, in a way not experienced before. The power as you minister in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bishop. Now, one last thing. You know, in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, the first building project, temple, they finished, they got their TOP, you know, in Jerusalem. And Solomon brought the Ark of the Covenant into that building and prayed that God would dwell in that place. God says, you know, I don't dwell in houses made of cedar, right? But God condescended to them and said, you know, I see your heart. And so as they consecrated the building, God's cloud, His presence filled that place. This is our desire today. We know God dwells in buildings made of living stones. That's you and me. But we also want to pray that God will use the building. So we're going to invite the bishop to pray and consecrate the new building. Mainly consecrate us, but also this resources that's been put together for the purposes of the kingdom. And then as Solomon finished that prayer, he says, O Lord, will you arise to your rest? Inviting God to ascend to His throne upon every one of our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's have the bishop to pray for that and give us the benediction.
Amen. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, would you raise your hands to the Lord? Both hands. It's a posture of praising Him. It's a posture of thanking Him because the new building is His gift to Coos. Yeah, He has done it. He has fulfilled plans actually birthed long ago. But at the appointed time, He has done it. So these are hands praising you, Lord. We are praising you from the depth of our being, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What you have started, you have indeed completed. Thank you, Lord. Bless you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. I thank you, Lord, there are people from generation past also here. And now they see with their own eyes something that they longed for. Yeah, we give you praise. We give you thanks. Thank you, Lord. And then, Lord, as our pastor has said to us, we can invite you to dwell in physical space. It's amazing, Lord. We have such a God. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. That's our prayer. Hallelujah. Make it a place of life. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. We want to release a river of life, Lord.
Amen.
Through the space, yes, the building, Lord. The different rooms, Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise Amen. You. A river of life. Lord, people can see you. People are touched by you. People hear the good news, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Prayers are answered, Lord. Because yes, Jesus Lord. Is dwelling in our midst. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Make it, Lord, full, Amen. Teeming with people. Hallelujah. May Amen. It be a magnet to people, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank Amen. You, Lord. We want to dedicate it to you, Lord. Hallelujah. So these are hands of surrender, Lord. We are surrendering the building. We are surrendering our ministry to you, Lord. Fill it, Lord, so that people are drawn into an eternal relationship with the living Lord Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Praise you. And so, Lord, we ask now in the name of Jesus, Lord, cleanse every nook and corner. We pray in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Where the Lord is, evil must flee. It's where the Lord is. Thank you, Lord. So we claim the whole space, Lord, in the name of Jesus. May it reflect the kingdom of God. Let there be joy. Let there be life. Let there be a celebration, Lord. Let there be community in the name of Jesus. And let the people who come there experience the touch of God in the name of Jesus. May they see. May many see how great is our God. Lord, we dedicate the building to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And now receive God's blessing. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we're asking for a blessing now to enter the mission field. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your word speaks to us, and I pray now. Every life here, even young and old, Father, I pray, will enter this mission, Lord. An appointed mission for the city of Singapore. Thank you, Lord. Use us, we pray. And then, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let there be joy in the city, because this city is turning to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Bless you. Receive the blessing now. The blessing of power. Lord God, send your Holy Spirit, Lord, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of courage, Lord, the Spirit of life upon your church, that we might proclaim the name of Jesus Christ and bring many home to God our Father. And so the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and flow out of you to bring life to others in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to sing this closing song. And after this closing song, the bishop will be outside. So please join us immediately after this song. Outside in the atrium, we're going to ring the bell. All right? So get your cameras ready. And, you know, so let's have Eunice lead us in the song.
Send revival. Send revival. www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.